Email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. So we're going to have one of these conversations that we love to have periodically here on The Takeaway, and we have been on for a year now. And, you know, one of the things we like to talk about is, you know, how pop culture is actually deep in the culture, is way more than simply box office or movie titles. Comic books, for instance, have always been a place to concoct new identities, to extend the possibilities of humans, whether it be leaping tall buildings or exploring one's Wolverine side in X-Men or gender in Mulan.
Okay, how about this?
Excuse me, where do I sign in? I see you have a sword. I have one too. They're very manly and tough.
I'm working on it. Who am I fooling? It's going to take a miracle to get me into the army.
One tough Mulan got into the army. This idea of playing around with gender in animated and comic books and other sort of graphic novels, ethnicity and other sorts of human traits. Comic books are kind of a laboratory, and it motivated us to ask Jeff Yang, who's the editor of the new book Secret Identities, the Asian American Superhero Anthology. He's also the author of the Asian Pop Column at the sfgate.com website, among other things. Jeff, thanks so much for coming into the studio. This Secret Identities book is really a laboratory for Asian Americans to explore all kinds of identity issues, to really get beyond ethnicity. Do you think of comic books as a laboratory for exploring identity beyond ethnicity and gender?
Yeah, actually, you know, one of my co-editors, Parry Shen, actually calls comic books in some ways a way of almost doing a blockbuster movie with no budget. I mean, you can have a anything happen, literally, any kind of special effects, any kind of transformations you want without the limitations we have on budget.
And limitations you have on casting. I mean, non-traditional casting is sort of the point of comic books, even though traditionally comic books have been sort of all white characters, and the real difference has been how depressed they were. Some were smiling, some were kind of troubled. But now you're really seeing a proliferation of characters. Describe.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting because over just the last decade or so, there really has been an attempt to make this fantastic world of the comic book look a little bit more like our reality, you know, to inject a diverse set of experiences and backgrounds and identities literally into the costumed characters that we know and love.
I sense, though, and Mulan is one example, even though she's ostensibly Asian, she's also a kind of a unigender, uni-ethnicity. That there's maybe it's the Disney Corporation coming up with that on their own, but I see in comic books a youth culture attempting to kind of get beyond traditional categories.
Yeah, you know, I think that's true in a sense. I mean, I think that there's a need, obviously, for people, you know, at the corporate level, certainly, to broaden their audience as much as possible. I mean, you can't have even in this world of micro-targeting, you still need mass culture. And as a result, it's not necessarily about saying, we're going to create a character who's Asian American, who speaks only to Asian Americans, but more, let's take a story, Asian or otherwise, and make it as broadly available and accessible and interesting as possible to people of all backgrounds.
Is that why a filmmaker like Miyazaki works universally? Just change the voices?
Yeah, well, I think there's definitely truth in that. I mean, you know, Hayao Miyazaki is, of course, one of the greats of anime. And his power is that he tells universal stories, but he tells them from a cultural position that's really unique. And I think it's that uniqueness in some ways which brings richness and vibrancy to the stories. If it was sort of generically flattened to begin with, I don't think it would be as interesting.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's a combination of universality in some sort of narrative sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got to be curious. You've got to take people to a different world.
I think it's absolutely right. And, you know, me and my co-editors and, you know, Jerry Ma, Keith Chow are the other two. You know, one of the things that we actually have experienced, you know, growing up, obviously, as Asian Americans is that...
Well, it's not obvious, actually, because you're on the radio.
This is true.
It's obvious to me.
Do I sound Asian American?
Radio yes. Is non-ethnic.
No, it's true. But, you know, the fact is mass culture, radio and otherwise, yeah, you know, doesn't really reflect our experiences very deeply. And yet, you know, when you look at something like comic books and animation, you see a world where, like you said, anything can happen. And the question is, why doesn't it? You know, it's not even so much an issue of whether or not people can be black or yellow or red or whatever, but in comic books, people can be green.
Right. And often are.
Yes, indeed.
So introduce me to some superheroes from this collection here that I need to know, who have traits that I actually need to embody.
Well, you know, one of the things we try to do is make stories that were in and of themselves, you know, as we were discussing, universal. There is a story called 9066, which we launched, we sort of opened the book with almost, which is about the first Asian American superhero to really kind of come out as a superhero. And he's Japanese American, and it's during World War II. So, of course, one of the first things he encounters is the difference between wearing a mask and fighting crime and being seen as who he is, as his ethnicity during World War II.
And so his ethnicity is kind of a mask, in a
sense.
It is.
Wow. And that's actually one of the big reasons we used this notion of the lens of the superhero to look at culture, because the notion of having a secret identity is very much a part of the Asian American experience, of having a part of yourself people can't see.
Well, empowering us all to be Dora the Explorer of comic book heroes, Jeff Yang writes the Asian pop column for sfgate.com. He's the author of several books, including Once Upon a Time in China, A Guide to the Cinemas of Hong Kong. Jeff, thanks so much for coming in.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.